good morning. It's so good to hear you visiting. So good for you to be here this morning. How many of you are glad you're here? Great. All right. Good. How many of you got a bulletin when you came in? How many of you don't have a bulletin? You're going to make sure you have one later on. All right. There you go. Okay. So if you have your bulletin, take it out. Let's take a look at some things. This Tuesday night, men, we have leadership team meeting here at the church. I hope you have that on your calendar. So please make sure that you have that. Also, next Sunday is church family dinner. And you have the details in the bulletin. There are still a lot of slots to be signed up for. And the sign-up sheet is out here on the information table. So please make sure that you grab that. While you're at the information table, you will also see some camp brochures for Camp Shiloh. And you will also see some daily bread devotionals that started yesterday for this quarter. So make sure that if you need any of that information, you pick that up as well. Hopefully you saw the announcement in the bulletin about No Children's Church for the summer months, and so you'll follow those directions accordingly. So we have a couple different things we want to do right here at the start of our service this morning. We have two high school graduates with us this morning. So we have Chance Cates and we have Liam Holm, and they're both in attendance, I think. Okay, so guys, come on up here. They both graduated yesterday, and they went to their graduation parties last night. And so if they're a little bleary-eyed, you know why. Okay, if their eyes are red, it's not because they're crying because they're now done with high school. Okay, there's another reason. But anyway, so this is Chance. This is Liam. So Chance is Dottie's grandson. How many of you remember Dottie? Dottie Gates. This is her grandson. Liam Holm belongs to Nikki Dusky and kind of to Joe, but you told me not to claim Joe, so I tried to follow your instructions. All right. No, we are so proud of these guys. And so, Chance, tell us what your future plans are now that you've graduated from high school. Cool. And for those of you who don't know, Chance has wanted to be a firefighter for a long time. So he's going to use the military to be able to help him achieve that goal. Okay, Liam, tell us what your future plans are. As a what? A drone pilot. Wow, that is pretty cool. So these two guys really have a lot to look forward to. So our prayer is that as your church family, you can still continue to find support from us, even though you may be miles away. We'll be praying for you. We have a little gift from your church family for you, hopefully to encourage you in your future plans. And so we're just so proud of both of you. So Chance and Liam, and why don't you hang up here for a moment and we'll say a word of prayer, okay? Father, I just thank you for these two young men. And Lord, I'm so thankful for the influence that our church has been able to have in their lives. I remember when both of these guys were much smaller than they are now. And so, Father, I'm just so thankful to have the privilege of being able to watch them grow. Not only to watch them grow physically, but to watch them grow spiritually. And so, Father, I just pray that in the tough times as they both are entering into the military, Father, that they will know that you are still with them. Father, that they will know that you are there to be able to sustain them. Father, they have heard your word. They have learned your word. And so, Father, I pray that in those times when they need to be able to be encouraged by your word or they need to be blessed by your word, Father, that you will bring your word back to them. I pray that you will keep them safe as they are entering into a career that's going to help them not only in the future, but it's going to help them in the present. And Father, they're going into careers that are going to help them keep our country safe. So Father, we pray that you will keep them safe as well. So Father, again, we're just so honored to be able to have had a part in the lives of these two young men. And we're just going to wait to see how you're going to continue to lead them in the future. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's give them another round of applause. And then on Thursday, Kayla and Carissa, And is your mom going on Thursday too? Okay. And Jennifer are going to be headed to Uganda. So if you didn't get your stuff that you had bought for them to take to Uganda, you need to talk to either Jennifer or these two young ladies to be able to figure out a time to where you can get it to them before they leave on Thursday. So why don't you three come on up, and we'll say a word of prayer for you, as there's a lot of things yet to be done between now and Thursday, and then as you travel on Thursday to Uganda. And we're just going to pray that God will just give you a great ministry while you're there. Father, we're just so grateful for the opportunity that we've had as a church to be able to support and to be able to be a part of what you are doing in Uganda at the GEM Academy. Father, I thank you for these ladies that are giving of their time, they're giving of their talent, to be able to go and to be able to minister for you. Father, we're sending them out as part-time missionaries from here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. And Father, I know that you're going to use them in a mighty way, because you've used them in the past as they've gone to Uganda, as they've gone to the academy, to be able to help over and over again. So Father, we just pray that you will just keep them safe. There's a lot of details that need to still fall in place between now and Thursday. Father, may each one of those details work out according to your purpose and according to your will. Father, we ask that you give them safety as they travel. I ask that you give them safety as they're in that country. Father, I pray that you bring them back to us safe so that we can be able to hear a report of what it is that you use them to be able to do as they are ministering for you in a place across the ocean, in a place halfway around the world. So, Father, we're going to entrust them to your care. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, ladies. All right, make sure that you tell them that you're going to be praying for them as they leave and as they go to Uganda to do this. Okay? All right. You ready to worship? I know that I am. All right, worship team, let's go.
All right, would you stand up on your feet? And you could even decide to change seats. There's all these empty seats up here in the front. But we're not here for us. We're here for Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, as we get ready to worship now, Lord, as we get ready to spend some time on you, Lord, take our hearts, God, shape them, mold them, soften them. Lord, let us experience not just a fun time, not just fellowship with one another, but Lord, let us come before you, the maker, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who gives us purpose, who has plans for us in our future. Lord, help us to come before you, the maker and creator. We love you. In the name of Jesus, amen. What heart could hold the weight of your love and know the heights of your great worth? What eyes could look on your glorious face, shining like the sun? You are holy, 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 God most high and God most worthy. You are holy, 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 Jesus, you are, Jesus, you are. Your name alone has power to raise us. Your light will shine when all else fades. Our eyes will look on your glorious face, shining like the sun. Who is like you, God? You are holy, 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 God most high and God most worthy. You are holy, 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 Jesus, you are, Jesus, you are. Who shall we say you are? You're the living God.
shall we say you are? You're the great I am, the highest name of all. You're all you say you are. You are holy, 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 God most high and God most worthy. You are holy, 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 Jesus, you are, Jesus, you are, oh, Jesus, you are, Jesus, you are, and you will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. All eyes will look on your glorious face, shining like the sun. Who is like you, God? Upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Please be seated as we continue. Lord, we're here for you. We're here to turn our eyes to you. We're here to worship you.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark part, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, with welcome pardon, cleanse, relief, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown hath broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yes, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a kicked many a doubt. Fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
All that we need, Lord, is found in you.
Worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give.
Thank you for all that you've done for us, but more so, Lord, for who you are. You are worthy of all praise, all glory, and all honor. And that's why we worship you. We come to you just as we are, broken, feeble. But Lord, you've promised us more, and we believe you because you're trustworthy and true. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Arshad is going to take this morning's offering and, as always, give because you want to worship, not because I'm telling you there's a plate coming in front of you. Give because Jesus is worth it. Amen. He is worth all that we have to give.
Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. He here is where I lay it down. You are all I'm chasing now. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. You are all I'm chasing now. This is my surrender. I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. To do whatever you want to. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. To do whatever you want to. Shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. Shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. To do whatever you want to. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. To do whatever you want to. Here is where I lay it down. You are all I'm chasing now. This is my surrender. This is my surrender.
Isn't God good? Sometimes I don't think we really realize or understand just how good God is. Because this last song that we just sang couldn't go any better with the message. Maybe you've already looked in the bulletin and you saw the title of the message this morning called Bearing the Burden. Didn't we just sing about that? I think so. You know, and God in His Holy Spirit does that. I know that some of you might have a hard time believing that Jared and I really don't get together and talk about where the message is going to go on Sunday, but we really don't. Even though God orchestrated for Jared and Christy and Becky and I to have dinner together last night, because we just ended up at the same restaurant at about the same time. And they were there just a little ahead of us. And we didn't even see them when we walked in. I didn't, because I was so focused on making sure that I ordered what I wanted to order. Because you have to order before you sit down and find a place. And all of a sudden, I get this tap on my shoulder, and I look, and there's Jared. And he goes, "Hey, come and join us. We just got here ourselves, and we're waiting for our food. So you and Becky come and eat with us." And we just had a great time. But we didn't say anything about where the message was going to go today. We didn't do any of that. But God knew, right? Isn't that, I mean, that's our God, folks. Doesn't that get you excited that God works behind the scenes even when we're just up here trying to do whatever we need to do? Well, this week I spent some time trying to review where we've been in Acts and tried to look forward to where we're going in Acts. And by the way, we're in Acts chapter 19, and we're going to pick it up in verse 21. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 19. And I was trying to think about what it would have been like to have been able to be at this time of the early church, when God is working, when God is doing so much. Would it have been great to be alive during the time of the early church and to watch the events that happened in this early church unfold? It would have been amazing to see thousands of people come to believe in Jesus as Savior all in one day. It would have been amazing to watch God answer prayer over and over and over again. It would have been amazing to experience entire communities transformed by God's message through God's mission as God was raising up Bible teaching and Bible preaching churches throughout the known world. I just think it would have been an amazing time to be able to be in. And we get to relive it. We've been reliving it since we started in our study of the book of Acts. And we're going to continue to relive it as we continue on in our study of the book of Acts. And you know, one of the things as I was looking backwards and one of the things that I was looking forward that I came to understand is that being a believer was not easy in the early church. Being a believer in today's church is not easy. Now, I'm not going to say it's much harder today than it was back then, but it's not any easier being a believer in the church today than it was even back then. You know, someone captured this like this. A Christian back then was completely fearless, continually cheerful, and constantly in trouble in a godly way. Okay? All right? And the believers in the early church counted the cost. They bore the burden, and they were dedicated to God. And I come to understand that there weren't many cultural Christians because it was too difficult to identify with Jesus and then not live for him. But we live in a society today, we live in a world today to where there are a lot of cultural Christians. I'm not going to call them believers because I don't know how they view Jesus. But I'll tell you one thing, they're not biblical. And this was so pointed out to me last night as I was watching the news. There was a church here in town, in fact, not very far in location from us, where the people of the church gathered together to be able to do something for our community. And the pastor was there. And the pastor had on his rainbow-colored glasses. And I know that he was making a statement because they're all about that. They're all about identifying with the culture. We here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, I'm going to clue you in on something. We're all about identifying with Christ. We're all about identifying with his word. We're about living for him. We don't live for the culture here. We live for God. We follow God's word. So if you were wondering, what is Lake Hazel Bible Church all about? I just summed it up for you in just a couple sentences. Okay? But that's who we are. But it is, we are living more and more in a world to where Christians follow the culture more than they follow God. And it's becoming more and more that way, even today. I notice more and more believers becoming more committed to God and his word and stronger in their process of spiritual growth. And as I witness that, that gives me hope. It gives me hope in spite of where the culture is going, even in the Christian realm. It gives me hope because God is calling people back to himself. God is calling people back to his son. God is calling people back to his word. And I'm so thankful we here at Lake Hazel Bible Church get to be a part of that. But involvement in God's mission can be burdensome, but bearing that burden is worth it. We see that as God was working in the early church, and I see that as God is working in churches today that are committed to following him and to following his word. And so there are three different burdens here in Acts chapter 19 that we need to bear in our involvement in God's mission. And we just sang a song about bearing the burden. Are we willing to bear the burden? Are we willing to lay some things down from our lives that make our lives comfortable so that we can bear the burden as God uses us to be involved in his mission? So we're going to look at several of these burdens this morning. The first burden is this, the burden of our plans being changed. Hopefully by now you've found Acts chapter 19. I'm going to read verses 21 and 22. Now after these events, Paul resolved in the spirit to pass through Macedonia and Achaia and go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. And having sent into Macedonia two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, he himself stayed in Asia for a while. The phrase, after these events, refers to the events of the first part of the chapter. Remember, we talked about that a couple weeks ago, how in the first part of chapter 19, we can see Jesus exalted. And so after exalting Jesus, people changed from their unrighteousness and their sins. And as a result, it told us in the early part of chapter 19 that the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. I see that happening in a lot of places in our world today. I see that happening in a lot of churches today. But it tells us here in the latter part of chapter 19 that Paul resolved in the Spirit to take another journey to minister in another location. And Paul's plan was to travel back to Macedonia and Achaia and go to Jerusalem. Now, it seems strange, if you know anything about where the location of these places are, it seems strange that Paul would want to travel west to get to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem from Ephesus was to the east. And sometimes, you know, he must have flown on some of our airlines, right? Right? Because sometimes you have to fly south to go north, you have to fly east to go west, which makes no sense to me whatsoever. But anyway, that's why I'm not in charge of an airline. But anyway, God had a specific purpose and plan for Paul going where he went. But sometimes Paul's plans weren't God's plans. And sometimes Paul's plans got changed. We're going to see that here in just a moment. And 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, gives us insight into this decision of Paul. Paul wanted to pick up a generous offering in these churches collected for the poorer believers in Jerusalem. So he had a purpose to go west before he went east. In verse 2, Paul gave them some giving guidelines, which apply even today in 1 Corinthians. He says, on the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside. And if you've been coming here to Lake Hazel Bible Church any length of time, even just a few minutes, you understand that for us, we believe that giving is a part of our worship. Jared just explained that. Okay, we don't give because Jared says, hey, we're going to take an offering today. Okay, it's not why we give. We give in worship to God. We give because God has entrusted financial resources to us, and we give back as a way to be able to worship him, as a way to be able to praise him. When we worship God with our giving, God is glorified and praised, and his message goes out to our community and to the nations. We just had a word of prayer for Carissa and Kayla and for Jennifer as they're getting ready to go to Uganda. And you as a church, you have given of your treasures to be able to allow them to be able to take stuff to Uganda that's going to help the orphanage moving forward. It's going to minister to them in a way. And God used you to be able to give and to give above your regular giving. And God has to be praised and glorified in this. And then after delivering this offering, Paul's plan was to go to Rome. Did you see where it said, he said, I must also see Rome. Why Rome? Paul was not a tourist, okay? Paul was not one of these people who just traveled to travel. He traveled for a specific plan, for a specific purpose. And Rome was the epicenter of the known world. And notice that Paul used the word must, showing us that it was a necessity for him. It wasn't just something that was on his bucket list, okay? From this point on in Acts, we see his determination to take God's message to Rome. In fact, Paul put this desire into words in Romans chapter 1 and verse 13, where Paul says, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented. So even though Paul made plans to go to Rome, it didn't happen when he wanted it to, nor did it happen in the way that he wanted. Because we know that Paul was arrested in Jerusalem. He was detained in Caesarea for 2 years. And eventually, by the way of a shipwreck, he arrived in Rome as a prisoner. So much for his plans. And because Paul could not leave on this trip immediately, he sent Timothy and Erastus to Macedonia while he himself stayed in Asia for a while. You know, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9 says, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Someone once said, if you want to make God smile, tell him your plans. So here's a question. Do you get upset or frustrated when your plans get upended or they don't happen at all? I got to admit, sometimes I do. But remember this truth. God works through people and their circumstances to accomplish his purposes and his plans. It's not about your plans. It's about his purposes and his plans. Because God changed Paul's plans, Paul had more time to devote himself to God's mission in Ephesus. It's often stated that opportunity often arrives with adversity. Involvement in God's mission can be burdensome, but bearing that burden is worth it. Are you willing to bear the burden of having your plans changed as you're involved in God's mission? Here's the second burden. The second burden is that of our popularity being lessened. I'm going to start reading in verse 23, and I'm going to read down through verse 27. About that time, there arose no little disturbance concerning the way. For a man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought no little business to the craftsmen. These he gathered together with the workmen in similar trades and said, "Men, you know that from this business we have our wealth. And you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a great many people, saying that gods made with hands are not gods. And there is a danger, not only that this trade of ours may come into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis may be counted as nothing, and that she may be even be disposed from her magnificence, she whom all in Asia and the world worship." Now, back in the times of the early church, one of the names for God's mission was the way. And this is a reference to Jesus being the only way to salvation for eternal life. And here in Ephesus, this mission and this message brought about a riot. And Paul referenced this disturbance in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8, where he says, "We do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." So as we've mentioned many times during our service in God's ministry, Satan comes along and he causes disturbances to distract unbelievers from hearing and understanding and accepting God's word. And he attacks believers to keep them not focused on God's mission and God's message. And that's why every day it's so important that we put on the armor of God that Paul gives to us in Ephesians chapter 6. But because of God's message going forward in such an effective way, the worship of the goddess Artemis here in Ephesus was disrupted. Now, Artemis is also known as Diana in Roman mythology. And she was considered the goddess of hunting and fertility. And her statue, if you ever have an opportunity to take a look at it, I would not recommend it. But her statue would not be considered a picture of beauty. And along with idol worship, there was a lot of indulgence and immorality among her followers. And according to local belief, local back then, Artemis had fallen from the sky near Ephesus. So these superstitious people made her a goddess. Now, most historians believe that it really was a meteorite. But because they wanted another god, little g, or a goddess, little g, to be able to worship, they figured that that's why. And if you look at her statue, you would think that it was formed and fashioned out of a meteorite. That's why I don't recommend looking it up. One inscription found at Ephesus refers to Artemis as their greatest goddess. Amazing. Amazing how dark and deep the depravity of mankind can get. Now, the temple that they built to Artemis was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And it took 220 years to build. And this magnificent structure was longer than a football field. It covered an area four times larger than the Parthenon in Athens. and it was supported by 127 marble columns, each column weighing 150 tons. This temple also functioned as a bank, with merchants and kings depositing their gold and silver because its safety was supposedly guaranteed by the goddess Artemis herself. Amazing. So here in Ephesus, there's this fellow that we come in contact with named Demetrius. He was a silversmith who provided the silver to craftsmen who made the statuettes of the goddess of Artemis, along with miniature models of her temple. So you think that souvenirs is something that happened recently? Nope, goes all the way back to Artemis and to her temple. Because not only did these craftsmen make statuettes of Artemis, they made miniature replicas of her temple, and people would come and they would spend their money to take that stuff home, so that when they died, someone else got to enjoy it. And when those people who were enjoying it died, someone else got to enjoy it, right? You all understand, right? Souvenirs, that's all that is. It's just a business, okay? All right? Goes way back. And during the spring, worshipers would arrive in Ephesus to participate in a drunken festival to Artemis, which was filled with drunkenness and immorality. How many statuettes and how many replicas of the temple do you think that they took with them? Probably a lot. But then here in Ephesus, as God's mission was going on, as God's message was going out, people came to believe in Jesus as Savior. And because of that, they stopped worshiping Artemis and no longer needed the shrines or the statues. And this fellow named Demetrius, he was troubled by this. And he stirred up the craftsmen by appealing to three powerful personal motivations. The first one was their pocketbook. Paul's preaching, God's word, hit them in their pocketbook. Look at verse 25 again. Men, you know that from this business we have our, what's the word? Wealth. Demetrius was trying to stir them up by telling them that these new believers in Jesus were ruining their business. Not only their pocketbook, but also their piety. Demetrius paints a bullseye on Paul by appealing to their piety. Look again in verse 26. And you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this Paul is persuaded and turned away a great many people, saying that gods made with hands are not gods. One of the greatest hindrances to the message of salvation in Jesus alone is organized religion. That's what Artemis and her worship was all about. It was all about religion. These craftsmen would know that these gods were not real because they had made them. They were made by human hands. Not only did he appeal to their pocketbook, and not only did he appeal to their piety, he appealed to their patriotism. Look at verse 27. He says, Artemis may be counted as nothing, and that she may even be disposed from her magnificence, she whom all Asia and the world worshipped. If people stopped worshiping Artemis, the city of Ephesus would lose its influence and reputation among other cities. So could you handle having your plans changed and the loss of your popularity? Would you be willing to lay the burden of your plans and the burden of your popularity down so that God's message and God's mission could go forward? You see, involvement in God's mission can be burdensome, but bearing that burden is worth it. We're going to look at another burden, the burden of persecution being endured. A preacher of old named G. Campbell Morgan said this, "The church persecuted has always been the church pure, and therefore the church powerful. The church patronized has always been the church in peril, and very often the church paralyzed." And as we've talked about, conflict sometimes shows up when God's word is faithfully preached. And if Demetrius' goal was to rile them up, verse 28 tells us it worked. Verse 28 says, "When they heard this, they were enraged and were crying out, 'Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!' And after getting riled up, the crowd went into riot mode." I'm going to pick it up in verse 29, and I'm going to read down for verse 32. So the city was filled with the confusion, and they rushed together into the theater, dragging with them Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians who were Paul's companions in travel. But when Paul wished to go in among the crowd, the disciples would not let him. And even some of the Asiarchs, who were friends of his, sent to him and were urging him not to venture into the theater. Now some cried out one thing, some another, for the assembly was in confusion, and most of them did not know why they had come together. Mob mentality had overtaken the crowd, causing so much confusion. You know, our country, especially in recent years, has experienced how dangerous a confused and enraged crowd can be. And as this mob marched up the Arcadian Way, they rushed into the theater, which had seating for 25,000 people, and they rushed like a raging flood. And because they couldn't find Paul, they seized two of his companions. And thinking that this could be another ministry opportunity, Paul wanted to go to the theater, but the disciples would not let him because they knew that if he did, he would be killed. And these Asiarchs were distinguished officers in Ephesus and friends of Paul, and even they wouldn't even let him go to the theater. And then in verses 33 through 34, there was an attempt made to quiet the crowd, but it backfired. Listen to this. Some of the crowd prompted Alexander, whom the Jews had put forward. And Alexander, motioning with his hand, wanted to make a defense to the crowd. But they, when they recognized that he was a Jew, for about 2 hours, they all cried out with one voice, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." Do you get this? There was a fellow who wanted to stand up and quiet them down and be able to say, "Hey, you know what? Let's think about this." But for 2 hours, they kept yelling the same thing. For 2 hours, they kept chanting the same mantra, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." The Jews elected Alexander to argue that the Jews were not to be blamed for the economic downturn and the dishonoring of Artemis, but the crowd would not even let Alexander speak. The only thing the crowd could think to do was to drown out Alexander by continuing to shout for hours with one voice, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." You know, this reminds me of a couple other things that we read about in God's Word. It reminds me of the showdown on Mount Carmel between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 26, when the priest of Baal, it tells us, called upon the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, "O Baal, answer us." But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they limped around the altar that they had made. Remember, Elijah had said, "Listen, we're going to have a little demonstration. We're going to see who really is God. Is God Baal? Because some of the Jews, some of the Israelites were following Baal. Or is God God? Is the Creator God God?" And so he brought them all up on Mount Carmel, and he had them build an altar, and he had them take a bull and put it on the altar. And he said, "Okay," he says, "you guys pray to Baal, and if Baal answers, then we'll know that he's the real deal." And so they started worship, and they started praying, and they started chanting, and they did this for hours and nothing. They did this for a long time and nothing. They began to dance. They began to cut themselves trying to get Baal to be able to answer. And Elijah, God's prophet, was trying to help them, because he was standing off to the side, and he was saying, "Maybe you need to yell a little louder. Because maybe Baal's asleep, or maybe he's deep in thought, or maybe he's on a road trip, maybe he took a vacation. So you really need to just get his attention." And then remember what happened? Finally, Elijah said, "Enough." And then he ordered that a trench be dug around the altar, and he made it deep. And then he ordered some to go down the mountain and to get water and to bring it up. And they got water and they brought it up. And he said, pour it on the altar, pour it on the sacrifice. And they poured it on the sacrifice. They poured it on the altar until the trenches were full. And then the Bible says that he bowed his head and he prayed a simple prayer to God. And as soon as he was done praying, fire fell from heaven, consumed the altar, consumed the sacrifice, dried up all of the water, not only on the sacrifice, not only on the altar, but all around the trench. God showed, God demonstrated that Baal was not anything, but he's the creator God, because only God could do that. I also remembered a time that's mentioned for us in Luke chapter 23, when an angry mob was mobilized against Jesus and repeatedly shouted these words to Pilate, "Crucify him, crucify him." They didn't care to listen to what Pilate had to say. Remember how many times, at least three times, Paul said, or Pilate said, "I find no fault in this man." But yet they wouldn't hear him. And they just kept crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And then in verses 35 through 41, a second attempt was made to silence the crowd, and this one worked. Follow along. "And when the town clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, 'Men of Ephesus, who is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is temple keeper of the great Artemis and of the sacred stone that fell from the sky? Seeing then that these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rash. For you have brought these men here who are neither sacrilegious nor blasphemers of our goddess. If therefore Demetrius and the craftsmen with him have a complaint against anyone, let the courts rule, because the courts are open and there are proconsuls. Let them bring charges against one another. But if you seek anything further, it shall be settled in the regular assembly. For we really are in danger of being charged with rioting today, since there is no cause that we can give to justify this commotion.' And when he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly." The town clerk was like a mayor. And since Ephesus was considered a free city, the town clerk made sure, that was his responsibility, to make sure that they did not get on the wrong side of the emperor, because Rome was especially suspicious of any hint of treason. So if word would have gone back to the emperor in Rome that there was a riot happening in Ephesus, that the people were stirred up, he would have sent in the army. He would have sent in the legions, and they would have taken care of business. They would have quelled this. But the town clerk stepped in and brought calm and reason back to it. And it's interesting. Did you notice how the town clerk was able to discern the character of the believers? Go back to verse 37. The town clerk says, "For you brought these men here who are neither sacrilegious nor blasphemers of our goddess." And these believers, all they were doing was following God's instructions. Following God's instructions found in Colossians 4, verses 5 through 6. And guess what? We can follow those same instructions given to us. This is what it says. "Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." These believers did not trash the temple. They did not protest their politics or attack their idols or spread their religion. What they did do was preach and teach the truth of God's word. What a lesson that is for us in the community in which we live. When we see things that disturb us, even from the Christian realm in our community, we don't need to go and tear things down. We don't need to go and carry signs. We just need to continue to preach and teach God's word. We just need to live faithfully according to God's word. What a reminder that is, that involvement in God's mission can be burdensome, but bearing that burden is worth it. You know, believers in God's mission in the book of Acts were completely fearless. They were continually cheerful, and they were constantly in trouble in a godly way, because they stood up for God's word. They stood up for God. They stood up for Jesus. Can this be said of us today? Father, I pray that this could be said of us today, that we are completely fearless, that we are continually cheerful, and that we are constantly in trouble in a godly way, because we stand on the truths of God's word. We stand up for you. We stand up for your son. We stand on your word and your word alone. Father, may we be this kind of people. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand for our last song?
How I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets, to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow before you. There will be a day when death will be no more, standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And every prayer we prayed in desperation, the songs of faith we sang through doubt and fear, in the end we'll see that it was worth it when he returns to wipe away our tears. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more, standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And on that day we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Forever he shall reign. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more, standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. So let it be today. We shout the hymn of heaven with angels and the saints. We raise a mighty roar. Glory to our God who gave us life